parenting, it occurred to me that you could go into any bookstore and look at what takes up a vast amount of shelf space, and it is books on parenting. Everybody has an idea of, you know, what proper parenting is. And there are books that will promise you that if you just follow these simple steps, your parenting will be great and your children will turn out perfectly. There's those that advocate for sort of kind of a, you know, a free-range parenting, where you just kind of let your kids roam, as it were, doing as they please, learning the lessons of life by experience. And there's others that would be dedicated perhaps to the phase we sometimes refer to as the terrible twos. And you either have solutions to making it through the terrible twos, or you just have, this is a phase you're never going to win, so just endure it and they'll eventually be three. And then you have the phase of what is often known or thought about as teenage rebellion. And it's just kind of this rite of passage almost that teenagers are going to rebel. And many parents are just resigned to the fact that when their parents or when their children reach the teen years, they're just going to rebel, and we just have to kind of deal with that. Well, the thinking on the subject of parenting ranges from anything from being able to just ace parenting, get it all figured out, to, as I said a bit ago, just kind of throwing your hands up and thinking there's nobody can do this. We just have to kind of endure for 18 years until the kids are grown. But really, the Bible teaches us, gives us much more hope in parenting. We as Christian parents, and I would even just extend that, you know, we have here among us some children, some parents with children in the home. We also have some who are grandparents. And although your relationship to certainly your children and even your grandchildren is a bit different than having children in your home under your authority, there's still things that you have to learn, even as you should still have a role in helping to instruct your even grown children in how they might parent and provide wisdom that you have gained. And so there's application really for all of us. Even if you don't have children or grandchildren, you still function in the context of a church where you can still be an encouragement and helping others in their role of parenting and raising children. But the Bible really gives us a much more hopeful picture for parenting. It certainly gives us a high bar for parents to train our children in the things of the Lord, not to resign them just to live in their sin and go their own way. No, we are commanded to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so not only does the Bible give us hope that we can do that by His Spirit, but also gives us clear direction in how to do that, what a properly functioning home looks like, both on the side of the children as well as the parents. And so we'll look at each of those today. As I said, our text is going to be verses 20 and 21. I'm going to go ahead, like I did last week, I'll probably do again next week, is read the whole section here just for us to see the context, to fit it all into what Paul is saying. So I'll begin again in verse 18 and read all the way down through chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Well, hopefully you already understand the context of this section. I've reviewed it a couple times now, but just by way of reminder for us, so that we understand where this section fits in the whole of Paul's letter and really in the more immediate context of chapter 3. Paul is calling us to live lives that are renewed. We have been in Christ. He's writing to a church of believers who he refers to as saints, those who are in Christ, who have been redeemed from their sin. Now he calls us to walk in newness of life, being renewed, again, verse 10 of chapter 3, being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This is our calling, to live a renewed life. And then also, just by way of review, verse 17, just before, the verse right before the section that we're in right now, whatever you do, in word or deed, everything, Paul's way of summing up everything we do, all of life, in every venue that we live, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that we do is to be done not only as a representative of the Lord Jesus, but as an act of worship to the Lord Jesus, living in obedience to his will. I mentioned last week, and again, I'll remind us here, this section that I just read, 9 verses, but in those 9 verses, Paul uses the word Lord with reference to Christ 7 times. And that helps us, again, understand all of these relations, these household relationships, these earthly relationships, and there's varying levels of authority and submission. All of this is under, ultimately, the lordship of Christ. All of us, whether you're a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, a master, a slave, we all live under the rule of Christ. And so we understand these things with that in mind. Jesus is not just Lord over creation and the church, as Paul laid out in chapter 1, but he is also Lord over our households, over our everyday life in that way. And so just as I did last week, almost in parallel fashion, make this kind of our main point. This is the big idea that I want us to get this morning, and that is this. In a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting family, both the parents and children have roles to fulfill. God-designated roles in obedience to him, and in doing so, in fulfilling these roles, we are able to experience a family life that is not only honoring to the Lord, but is also joyfully satisfying. You want to have a happy family life? You want to have a satisfying home life? Well, that is achieved by honoring the Lord in obedience to what he reveals in passages such as this in Colossians 3. And so we're going to begin first by looking at the responsibility of the children in verse 20. And again, these verses are stated very clearly, succinctly, simply. They're very difficult in many ways to obey, because we are fallen sinners, but it certainly should not be confusing for us to understand what Paul is writing here. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. When Paul speaks here to children, he's speaking primarily to those who are young enough to be under their parents' authority, living in the home. There's certainly ways that we can understand, kind of as children get older and transition out from under their parents' authority. But Paul has in mind here children who are living in the home immediately under their parents' authority. And so children who are here this morning, listen up. This is a word to you. First and foremost, this is a word to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The fact that Paul would personally address children gives them value. And again, think of this in the first century. I mentioned last week that the fact that Paul would directly address the wives would have been a bit unique in that culture. But even more so for Paul to directly address the children. As this letter was first read in that church in Colossae, you can imagine the perhaps surprise among the church members that Paul is addressing the children. But yet Paul has a word, and God has a word for children. Children, how do you walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord? You want to please the Lord? You ought to want to please the Lord. How do you do that? You do that by obeying your parents in everything. For as Paul says at the end of verse 20, this pleases the Lord. How do children please the Lord? They do so by obeying their parents. The command for children to obey is a difficult one, right? Children, isn't it hard sometimes to obey your parents? Children in their immaturity, we've all been there. I would remind us who are grown. In our immaturity, children in their immaturity think they have it all figured out. After all, they've lived on this earth for 8 whole years. They know everything. And it only gets worse when they get a little bit older and all of that experience and wisdom that they have, and it becomes more difficult for them to obey their parents who don't seem to know anything. I was reminded of a quote often attributed to Mark Twain. I don't think he likely said it, but perhaps you've heard this as well. When he said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." And who had learned something, of course, was the child who matured and saw, you know what, my parents actually understand a thing or two. They have a little bit of wisdom, and that ought to be particularly the case for us as Christian parents. We certainly ought to have a measure of wisdom that our children, to obey us, is actually brings great blessing in their life. But let me remind us of the biblical background for children to obey their parents. The earliest and clearest command for children to obey their parents is back in the Ten Commandments. God really codified in the law this requirement of children to properly relate to their parents as obedience to the Lord. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And then in a similar context, one book later, in the book of Leviticus, God explicitly connects his command for children to honor their parents to their relationship to the Lord. He says in Leviticus 19:3, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. You shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." The reason, and Paul connects what he's saying to the very same thing. The reason we are to obey parents, children, the reason you are to obey your parents is because the Lord has commanded it. This isn't Paul's idea. This isn't your parents' idea. Obedience to parents is God's idea. And to obey your parents is to obey the Lord. And I would also remind us of the seriousness that God took regarding obedience. In Deuteronomy, he gives the punishment for rebellion in the heart of a child. You know what it is? Stoning. Commanded that parents of rebellious children bring their children out before the elders of the city, and they were to be stoned with stones. Now, we don't operate that way any longer. We are not under the law of God in that way, that the punishment for rebellion and disobedience is stoning, but it serves to remind us of the seriousness that God takes the sin of disobedience and the command to obey. In fact, we also see in the Bible that disobedience to parents is listed along with those who have rebelled towards authority. Places like 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 3, rather, speaking of the last days, there will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. This disobedience and rebellion is a mark of those who have rebelled against the Lord. On the flip side of that, those who are wise and desire to please the Lord are those who will obey their parents, will listen to their instruction, will heed their warnings. You could spend all day in the Proverbs seeing the way that God describes the wisdom, or describes wisdom as being fleshed out in the home life as children listening to their parents. Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." Of course, the parallel passage, our passage in Colossians, is in Ephesians chapter 6. There Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And that passage connects obedience to parents with blessing from the Lord. You want to experience God's blessing? Obey your parents. You want to experience discipline from the Lord and discipline from your parents? Disobey your parents. Children, if obeying the command to obey your parents seems like a hard thing, and I think if I were to have the children to raise their hands, I won't do that, don't raise your hands. Is obeying your parents a hard thing? I'm sure if you were honest, all of you would raise your hands. But think about this. When you think of obedience is a difficult thing. Jesus himself submitted himself and obeyed his parents. Jesus, who as God the Son created all things, and who in love and mercy took on himself human flesh, was born as a baby, grew up as a child. We read in Luke 2 that he submitted himself to his parents. And part of Jesus' development as a human being was this living in his home, under his parents' authority, in perfect obedience to his parents. Again, Jesus' development was not stunted when he obeyed his parents. In fact, Luke 2:52 tells us that as a result of submitting to his parents, living in obedience to them, he actually increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus developed fully as a child. And part of that was related to the relationship that he had with his parents, a relationship of obedience. Children, how do you apply this call to obey? What does it look like to obey your parents? Well, genuine obedience, children, I hope you understand this. Genuine obedience is not merely outward conformity to what your parents ask you to do. Genuine obedience is much more than simply doing the thing that your parents asked you to do. If your parents ask you to clean your room, and the whole time you're cleaning, you may be cleaning, you may get the job done, you may do a great job cleaning, but if the whole time you're cleaning, you're mumbling complaints, either out loud or to yourself, that's not obedience. That's disobedience and rebellion. So although you did the outward thing, you got the room clean, you did not do so in a way that was obedient. Also, obedience to your parents includes speaking to them in respectful ways. It may be, this is important for us to understand both as children and as parents, it may be that you disagree with something your parents have asked you to do, and this will maybe more likely be the case as you get older and as you mature and you have a better understanding of life, of God's Word, you may disagree with something your parents are asking you to do. And I want us to understand, I want children to understand, I also want parents to understand that there is a way for a child to address his or her parent in a way that is obedient and respectful and honoring to them, but still maybe ask a question. Children, if you have a question about something your parents are asking you to do, there is a way to do that that is respectful and still maintain obedience. The wrong way to do that is to complain and to yell back, say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. But there is a way to honor your parents by respectfully addressing something that you perhaps disagree with or have more questions about why they're asking you to do something. Also, it's important for us to understand that this command to obey does not require a child to obey in a circumstance in which the parent is asking the child to sin. Again, this is why it's so important to see obedience to parents as, first of all, and most importantly, as obedience to the Lord. We obey, our children are to obey their parents in everything. It does not include when parents ask their children to sin. The phrase, for this pleases the Lord, at the end of verse 20, places the children's obedience to parents under the authority of the Lord so that he must be obeyed above all. Parents, keep that in mind as well as you parent your children or your grandchildren. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents from the heart, not merely outwardly from the heart, because merely outward conformity is not genuine obedience. But parents, there's also a word here for us in verse 21, where Paul says, fathers, and I would expand that to be fathers and mothers, parents together, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. I think it's important here for us to note the order in which Paul addresses the various household relationships. You notice that he addressed the relationship between the husband and the wife, first of all, last week? And now this time he deals with the relationship between the children and the parents. I think that's important for us to get. It's going to be very difficult for two parents to fulfill their responsibility to properly train their children if they have not first done the work and are doing the work of properly living with one another in the way that God has commanded. It's not impossible. Certainly we can look at many people throughout history. Perhaps we know some. Perhaps you are some who the Lord has been gracious. And although you grew up in a terrible home life, God was still able to reach you and save you and mature you into a godly man or woman. But as we think of our responsibility as parents, it's going to be much more difficult, humanly speaking, to properly raise our children to not only love the Lord, but to worship Him. If we have not done our job as moms and dads, husbands and wife, first, to take care of our relationship. I would also direct our attention to the parallel passage in Ephesians here. Again, very similar phrase, Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In both of these verses, in our English translations, we have the word provoke. They're actually two different words written in the original language. In the word here translated in Colossians 3, 21 is a word that's actually only used one other time in the New Testament. It has the idea of stirring up or motivating to action. In fact, the other time Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he uses it in a positive way. Those believers, he writes, your zeal has stirred up the others. Their zeal for the Lord, their zeal for one another, the way that they loved and served, and in that context, gave financially toward others, stirred up the rest. They wanted to meet that standard. This word provoke has that idea of motivating to action. And yet here in Colossians 3:21, fathers, parents are warned against provoking their children, warned against motivating them to some action. What is it? What action is it that they are discouraged from motivating their children toward? We get a sense of what he's talking about at the end of verse 21 when he says, lest they become discouraged. This provoking your children leads to discouragement. I would probably just summarize this with the exhortation to parents as you deal with your children, make obedience as easy as possible. That doesn't mean don't ever give your kids things to do so that it's easy for them to obey. Rather, give instruction to them. Even have them do things, but do so in a spirit of gentleness and kindness as parents, rather than being just the master who they will bow to your will and do as you please. The responsibility of parents in obedience. Why does God give to children, parents, in authority over them? It's good for you children to understand as well. Why does God give parents to you? Why did God give you your parents? Maybe you're asking that same question. There's a good reason. God gave you those parents in order that they might train you. Again, in the words of Ephesians 6, 4, to bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There is something much more broad in parenting than just getting your children to do what you want them to do. Our responsibility, our calling as parents is so much bigger than that. And parents, if you're focused, and grandparents, as you have opportunity to influence your grandchildren, your job is so much bigger than just getting them to clean their room, or getting them to do the dishes, or getting them to do the lawn work. Our responsibility is to train them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is laid out very clearly, again, by God at the very beginning as He brought His people out of Egypt, established them as a people. And in Deuteronomy 6, that well-known passage that deals with the responsibility of fathers primarily, but parents as they instruct their children, Listen to these words. Again, probably very familiar to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. In many ways, we have summarized there the law. Of course, Jesus himself uses this as a summary of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and with all your might. And it is to that end that we then, as parents, as God further exhorted his people, to teach them diligently to the Lord, to teach the commands of the Lord, to teach the Lord diligently to their children, making it the talk of all of life, whether you're sitting down, standing up, on the way, lying down. If our children are going to know what God has commanded and how to live lives that are obedient to him, we as parents have the responsibility to teach them those things. Our job as parents is much bigger than just getting our kids to conform to us, to our wishes. It is ultimately to lead them into conformity to the image of Christ through the work of the gospel in their life as they come to faith and repentance of their sin. How do we respond to disobedience? Because it's inevitable. Our children will disobey. How do we respond to disobedience? Well, we don't live under that Old Testament law that prescribes stoning for disobedient children. But that doesn't mean that disobedience and rebellion is no longer a big deal. Again, it's no longer something we write off as a phase they're going through, a rebellious phase. That's not okay. And we as parents have the responsibility to correct them and deal with them according to God's word. In fact, the way that we respond to our children who disobey is the same way. It's patterned after the way that our Heavenly Father deals with us when we disobey. It's through discipline. It's through correction. Hebrews 12, we read, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Proverbs 22, verse 15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Don't think that discipline will squelch your children's expressiveness. Oftentimes, as young children, as immature children, their expressiveness, their creativity is full of sin. We're born into sin, and they will, as Proverbs 22, 15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child." Children will live foolishly. We as parents often live foolishly. And just as God corrects us and disciplines us, restores us, so we as parents are responsible to discipline our children, to correct their folly, to point out their folly, to help them see it from God's word. Help them see that this is not just folly in our eyes, but this is folly in the Lord's eyes. And remind them that their greatest problem is not that they disobey us, but their greatest problem is that they are disobeying the Lord, that they are a sinner in need of saving grace from God. Well, how do we apply this call to godly parenting? Parenting that will not provoke or stir up our children, to discourage them, to lead them just to throw up their hands and say, "I can never please my parents. I can never please the Lord. I quit." How do we parent in a way that honors the Lord and does not provoke our children? We'll recognize some of the dangers that we can fall into as parents that leads potentially to provoking them to discouragement. Some of these dangers include things like inconsistent instruction and discipline, inconsistency. Leads children to be confused about what is expected of them. This goes both for the way that they interact with us, but even the way that they view the Lord. If we are inconsistent in the way that we are teaching them the things of the Lord, it only leads them to confusion. They're uncertain about what's right and wrong. Yesterday it was this, today it's this. Our job is to maintain, as best we can, consistent instruction and discipline. There's also the danger of setting unrealistic and unreasonable expectations on them. Expecting them to do things that are really beyond their ability to do. And when they're not able to do it and we come down on them, it only leads them to discouragement. What they're left thinking is, I can never do what Dad expects me to do. I can never meet Mom's expectations for me. Another danger is favoritism. Favoritism breeds contempt for parents who treat each of their children differently. There's certainly appropriate ways to treat your children differently. You should treat your children differently. They're different people. They have different personalities. But to favor one over another, we see even in the Old Testament from the example of Jacob and his sons, one of being Joseph who was favored. We see what happens in those relationships. But even when one child is disciplined for something and the other one isn't, for the same thing, again, that gets back to that inconsistency and perhaps motivated by favoritism. All of these are things that will certainly provoke children to discouragement. How about legalism? The danger of legalism. It is focusing more on the external behaviors of a child rather than working to get at their heart. Kind of use the example I used earlier. It's just kind of being happy and satisfied as long as the bedroom gets cleaned. I don't care what the attitude was like. I don't care how much complaining they did. The room is clean, so I'm okay. This sort of focus on external behaviors rather than working to get at their heart. Maybe one of the greatest dangers that we as parents have as we think about avoiding provoking them to discouragement is that the danger of living our lives as parents contrary to the instruction that we are giving to our children. When we live our lives before the Lord in disobedience to the Lord, and we expect them to live in obedience to the Lord, that might be okay for a while. But as your children grow and mature and can understand things better for them, for themselves, they will see that inconsistency. They'll see it clearly. They're the closest to us. And that will certainly lead them to discouragement. In fact, I've seen, I know you've seen, children who grow up in church, seemingly trained in the best churches, learn all the Sunday school lessons, and yet when they're out on their own, they abandon it all. And oftentimes one of those reasons that is given is because their parents did not live out before them the things that they taught them. What a tragedy. We as parents have a responsibility to live out what we are instructing our children to do. At the heart of our relationship with our children is our understanding and our experience of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. You see, God's expectations for us are clear. He's given us the ability to obey Him. When we sin against Him, when we confess our sins, He forgives us and restores us by His grace. Aren't we thankful for the way God, our Heavenly Father, deals with us? A well-ordered home in which parents are patiently, lovingly, gently leading and teaching their children, and their children responding with genuine submission, submissive, even eager obedience. That kind of home is becoming a rarer and rarer thing. Too many homes are characterized by hostility, rebellion, a lack of love, even abuse. And we as Christians, we who have the Word of God, have a responsibility, a, a, a great responsibility to live in our homes, in our household, as children, as parents, in a way that shines the light of the gospel, that gives evidence that we have been transformed, that whatever we do, we are doing in the name of the Lord. And we can be a shining light, a testimony of God's grace to others. Just close by reading a couple passages, one from Proverbs 23. Children, hear this. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Then again, from Hebrews 12, I would remind all of us, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. God's work in us often will be painful and not pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. My prayer for us, all of us, children, parents, grandparents, is that we would see this peaceful fruit of righteousness yield in our lives as we are being trained by the Lord, and then we are training others as we ourselves have been trained by Him for His glory, that we might be a light for the gospel and that we might experience a home that is giving glory to the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your grace in our lives. We're thankful for the fact that you have been patient with us. Pray that you would continue to help us in our roles as parents, as grandparents, as children in the home, even children who are growing up and moving out of the home, still that responsibility to honor. Lord, we pray that each of us, children and parents alike, would take seriously the commands of these verses. We pray for our children, that you would help them to understand from your word their responsibility to obey their parents in all things, as an act of worship, as an act of pleasing the Lord. Pray that you would give us as parents the love and patience and gentleness that we need to faithfully and consistently train our children, instructing them in the things of the Lord, patiently disciplining them and correcting them when necessary, but ultimately not pointing them to our standards for their behavior, but to your word, instructing them in that. Pray for forgiveness where we disobey, cleansing from our sin. Restore us. Enable us to walk continually in newness of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.